Leafs talk. It's midnight on the East Coast. Everybody's probably tucking into bed. We're up. Hopefully this provides a little bit of post-game entertainment for the amazing fans that are pouring out of the Saddle Dome right now and enjoying what is just an amazing feeling, a Leafs road win where you've got half of the building wearing the blue and white. I'm Lucas, he's Sam McKee. Leafs, I think it's fair to say, dominate the Flames, 6-3. Game that felt close at times where they trailed in the first, but come back and end up, filling the net, scoring six goals, one an empty netter, Nylander a hat trick.
Awesome finish to this game. Yep. I can't imagine how much, if you're a Calgary Flame, watching the hats rain down for an opposing player in your home building.
That many?
That's got to be the worst feeling in sports. Like, I truly can't imagine how much. And you saw a Uyghur who just got barbecued by Willie smack away one of the hats there. But yeah, I love this Western road trip every year.
Yeah,
I not as much as I get older because I'm a soft old man and I get tired with these games now. But when I was younger, it was my favorite thing. And now I love the aesthetic, especially the Flames one to me.
Yeah, I know. The Flames is so great. It is.
The whites, the Leafs whites with their reds and just the crowd where you can really see the juxtaposition between the two colors. I always really enjoy this game. Plus, the Leafs usually win this game. I think they've won five in a row against the Flames now. So they've kind of owned them. So it's been really, or maybe they had won five in a row going into this game. So maybe that's the sixth in a row. Can't remember exactly, but they dominate this matchup. Yeah. Awesome viewing experience tonight watching the Leafs in the Flames.
Yeah. Buddy, I don't care about the late starts when the game is like this. It actually perks me up. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted this. And I know Leafs fans are getting hammered for crowd talk. It's kind of a soft position to take, but how does this not make you wish it was like this here? Because didn't the game feel so much more intense? And it was a wild game, right? Like, there's two reviews, two goals get called off. Then the second period is just goal, goal, goal. There's 5-on-3s. There's multiple power plays. The Leafs, one of their star players, scores a hat trick. Like, there was a lot to this game that made it extremely exciting, but God, the atmosphere just adds so much to a hockey game. It's painful seeing how different it is.
I agree. And watching it, like, you're never going to be able to recreate the excitement of Torontonians and and Leaf fans that live in the West and get the one night a year where it's like the family reunion.
And all the people that travel from the surrounding area.
It's a one night passion affair where it's really hard to drum up that every single night on home ice. Like, don't get me wrong here. I'm sure at Rogers Place Rogers Place in Edmonton now too? I think it's Rogers Arena. One of the ones. Like, I'm sure they have some sleepy nights there too when the Columbus Blue Jackets come to town. I'm sure, like, the Flames have some sleepy nights.
But the issue's not like the Columbus Blue Jackets.
No, I know. I'm not trying to defend the Leafs crowd here at home because it's brutal. It's always been brutal. But I will say, like, it's hard to recreate the one night a year, get all the boys and girls together and head on down to the Saddle Dome.
Brother, I grew up on it. This was my childhood. Like, I went to West Coast Leafs games for the one a year, and it was an event, and it is an event. And I will say this though, I really do wish they played more than once a season out
there.
Sure. Like, the one thing that was good with COVID, the only thing that was good about anything that happened in COVID was that Canadian teams played each other a bunch. Mm-hmm. And like, listen, we're talking about buy Canadian right now more than ever. Hey, be Canadian, stay Canadian. I say more games in Canada. Like,
I think they should just add like three more Canadian teams and all the Canadian players should just play in Canada and just have a CHL. No exports, no imports, Don Cherry style, not drafting from Europe or America, just straight CHL action. And I'm not talking about the junior hockey league. I'm talking about the men's senior team of just all Canadian guys. Yeah, there's my idea for the night on a late night league.
Like, what a missed opportunity it is for the league to not have more of those games.
It's just far. Yeah, you know, like, you've flown out there. It's far. It's a long flight.
Far?
Yeah, it's
Vancouver's
long.
Far.
Yeah, and so it's, I mean, it's like a 5 hour flight or 4 hour flight to Edmonton, isn't it? Four and a half flight to Edmonton.
3.5 hours, yeah. Like,
anyways, like, it's not that bad. You're right. And I really wish they would emphasize this a little bit. And it's really great when they go out there. And I really, you know, all the Canadian teams, I really look forward to those games more than against any other team. And it has a lot to do with the fandoms, and it has a lot to do with the fan rivalry between the fans.
Yeah.
But like, you know, how awesome is Leafs Oilers rivalry? Like, is that not the number one game people get up for? Like, it's huge. Leafs Jets is a sick rivalry. Even like, you know, you think about the Habs, sure. You know, the bubble stuff, we don't need to get into that. Sens is percolating here again. The Canadian matchup.
Sens is rising. It's percolating. It's real percolating. Yeah. Them being 2 points behind the Leafs in the standings.
They lost tonight at least once, so Leafs are back to four up. So,
but still, good. I'm just saying that being there tonight, I felt those stakes. Didn't you? Like, didn't you feel that sitting there?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So
it was good. It's good that they're relevant again. It's nice for them to have their first real good regular season for like 8 years, where all eight of those years, their fans have told me that they have a better core than the Leafs. So it's nice to see that they've finally actually started to play well. So good for them. Congrats on their first half season of good hockey in 10 years. Congrats. But yeah, it's nice. It's nice. It's just this road trip really rocks, and all the Canadian matchup rocks. And I think this is my favorite one to watch because it's always like a 9 p.m. So it's not like the real dragger, but it's late enough where you're kind of feeling a little frisky, kind of feeling a little, you know, fun.
Yeah, it's fine. It's not that bad. Hey, it's not that bad. Yeah. Although the game probably wraps up maybe a half hour ago, if not for the reviews in the first period. Like,
yeah,
this one's ending at a regular Canucks time with the reviews. There is, I actually like the 9 o'clocker as much as it is fun, like forcing the Oilers to play at 7 and hearing their players complain and knowing, like, you know, Toronto is the big dog that forces the schedule. I do like the 9 o'clock start. I think
they're the grumpiest squad in the world. Hey, the Oilers, all they ever do is grump. They're just their media is grumpy. They're grumpy, all grumpy. I guess it's minus 30 there every night, but this is a grumpy town, man. Like, holy McDavid, McBaby, just whining about everything. They're brutal over there.
I will say they do take on the personality of the best players, and it's like Draisaitl and McDavid are both kind of grumpy guys, but
time grumps. They've never smiled.
Yeah, but I like that about them. Sure. Like, I do. Sure. Why are you so pissy, Leon?
One of the greatest clips in sports history. We're so pissy all the time.
We're so pissy all the time is so funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, to the game itself, I'm going to start with the power play because it's the best in the NHL since January. We've crushed it nonstop, but now it's humming. And, dude, the easiest thing to pinpoint for me is just they're snapping around and the players are moving around and they've got a legitimate couple of net front guys with it. Mm-hmm. Hey, what do you know? All the talent in the world actually works, but we've hammered them over and over and over again about not being good enough passers. Look at the goals tonight and the passes that they're making, the decision-making. Like, it's just clear they're making quicker decisions and it's playing off into goals.
Yeah. All the power play goals they've scored over the past two games, it just starts from the middle, right between the hash marks, right?
Yep.
Think of both the goals they scored on Saturday night where Nyes kicks one up to his skate, taps it in. Bobby McMahon pulls it from the center of the ice, backhand. This one where Matthews makes a fantastic play off the boards to pull it up into the middle, gets it to Nyes, who's a shot threat, right to Nylander, middle of the ice. And then Tavares for his, another great pass by Matthews in a really cheeky finish by John Tavares off the post and in, backhand. Beautiful stuff. But that's the common theme. And, you know, I feel like at times this power play has been really, really perimeter oriented and not shot oriented enough and kind of dusting it off and not really direct, not really urgent. And that's flipped in the last little bit here. There's been way more urgency, way more shot priority. They've just been way more threatening. And it's really nice to see that happening because, you know, coming off the playoffs last year, where Guy Boucher was public enemy number one, into the start of this year where it was the number one talking point for the first 2-3 months of the season. It's just nice that it looks like it should, that you have all these guys out there that are really, really well compensated to do these things, and they're finally doing them consistently. It's an excellent development for the Leafs, and it's been a huge reason they've won these last two games in Alberta.
Well, this is where I was kind of going with this next. the broadcast keeps hammering, like, when they score power play goals, they win the games. When they
score every team. That's the whole sport.
But not just every team. It's especially this team. The Leafs don't get any depth scoring. Surprise, surprise. They're not getting anything from Nick Robertson and Pontus Holmberg and Ryan Reeves, although Reeves tonight almost.
Buzzing. He had a tip in front and a breakaway.
Almost, buddy. Like, Max Pacioretty looks like his career is over. Like, they've got nobody outside of Bobby McMahon that's a part of their depth that is meaningful to this team in any way. So, like, for guys that are already being pressed enough to score 5-on-5, right, your top six players, where you're getting all of your offense, God, it just makes things so much easier. Like, it's the formula actually possible when you're clicking on the power play. I don't know if there's a team where it's more important than for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, the style in which they play, the way that the offense can just dry up for this group, they need to be able to convert on the power play. Like, I just, I don't, this isn't rocket science, but I don't think that there's an even possibility of a deep playoff run without the power play clicking at a high percentage.
Totally agree. It's been an Achilles heel. Special teams all over the years has been the sneaky Achilles heel of the Leafs playoff failures.
But it's tied to that depth, right?
Last year it wasn't sneaky.
And then no power play. Like, it's just not going
to
work.
Yeah. So, and you mentioned, like, you know, the meaningful guys to this team. And I think you meant meaningful offensively, because I think Kampf has been really good defensively. Lorenz has been a good fourth liner. Guys like that, where they're still contributing on other parts of the game. But they do have a lot of guys that are running out there right now that it's just no hope. You're not getting one, you know. You're hoping to survive the shift, and you're hoping to get the puck into the offensive zone, maybe one or two cycles, and then get one of the guys who can actually shoot the puck in the net back over the boards. That's kind of what you're hoping for at this point.
I mean, at the very best, at the very best. Here's the thing: like, we're looking at the trade deadline and trying to project what the Leafs might be able to bring in here, but I'm just gonna remind people that they've got a limited asset pile. They're really capped out. They're going to have to bring Yarncroke back, and he's going to help the depth to a degree. But, you know, it's like, that guy's like a 13-goal scorer in the NHL. You prorate
one goal in 16 career playoff games. Or, no, sorry, 18 career playoff games to the league.
Yeah, like, he's not a goal-scoring savior.
No.
You might remove Nick Robertson, probably more likely than just about anybody from this team's depth right now, like he and Ryan Reeves. But it's like, hey, at least he's a threat to score. I'm just saying, I don't think that there's going to be this immense amount of help that's going to be coming to Leafs. I don't think that the blue line is going to start pumping goals in the net. I don't think that the bottom six is going to start hammering goals unless they split up the top three guys and try to balance out the lines, which doesn't seem like it's what it's going to do. And so this power play, just can't emphasize it enough. Pressure's on, Savvy. Like, you've got one of the most important components of the team, and right now it's clicking, and that's resulting in wins.
So Christian has put a stat in, or I guess that's from somebody, and Christian can clarify that, but they have 6-15 goal scorers, which is the most in the league. And if you said that to me, that would be extremely surprising. Like, that's something that jumps out to me as a big stat there. I guess there's just so many guys that aren't a threat to do anything. Like, it's just it's the six.
I don't even understand how that guy could put that stat out there. It's like, it's not sure about the depth thing. It's like, no, that's actually the point. They're extremely top heavy. They've got six guys, then nothing.
And then nothing.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, that's the cutoff. But six is high. Six is higher than I would have guessed for 15 goal scorers. But,
well, not really, because they've got this Bobby McMahon breakout where he hit, I think, his 16th goal of the season tonight. Yeah. Like, his career high already. What a bargain. What a contract. Mm-hmm. I was, again, on with you guys when we joked about how he should have held out for more because he was valuable, and was like, oh, well, the injuries, and he was just injuries. In the ECHL. I was thinking this when he snapped this one tonight. This is like a signature Bobby McMahon goal. Like, he's just capable of scoring off the rush. It's like, clearly you would want Matthews 1, Nylander 2, maybe even Nylander 1. And then is Marner 3 or is McMahon 3 for you in terms of, like, off the rush score gets that time and space?
I was thinking about a nickname for him. Like, you know, we had, like, the big shot Bob and all that stuff. But, like, what about Rob the Ripper here? He rips the puck every single time. It's near, like, he rips it.
Yeah,
like,
he does.
He's got a really, really sweet release. And this was always the book on him all the way through every level that he played. Borny talked about him at the Marlies. Like, guys down there loved the way he shot the puck. Everyone's always said that. And God, it just comes off his stick at an elite. Just the way it is. Like, that's, you know, the Calder favorite goalie who everybody's telling me is the best goalie in the world, or like young goalie in the world, unbelievable, all this, all that.
Doesn't let in any goals at home.
Yeah, and like he just comes down, stares him down, and just shoots it right over his shoulder into the net and out of the net as fast as he possibly can. I'm loving Rob the Ripper recently, buddy. He just absolutely rips the puck. It's, you know, and I love that Lorenzo's like, yep, here you go, buddy.
Yeah,
I'm not even going to consider this. This is not a 2-on-1.
I'll stay out of your way.
This is a 1-on-1. And they asked McMahon about it in the intermission. He's like, yeah, you know, he let me make the decision. And he's like, buddy, you didn't even consider it. The thought didn't cross your mind.
Man, when you're saying the Rob the Ripper thing, though, it's like, that makes me think about, that's what Nick Robertson was supposed to be.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, he was supposed to be Rob the Ripper, and he's just not Rob the Ripper at all. Like, he's Rob the Rip Off.
You know what's funny? If 3 or 4 had entered the net over the past 3 weeks, I would be like, he's been good. He's been noticeable. But it's just like, they just never go in. They just never, ever go in. I just hope some pro scout catches him on the right night where he had a couple chances, and he's like, you know, goes back. He's like, you know, if we give this guy a little bit of opportunity, maybe, you know, maybe we could really find a role for this guy, because he does have shifts where he's noticeable and he's making good plays and it feels like he's a little bit more aggressive, but it just never goes in, dude.
He's on the ice and his line, when he's with Domi and those two guys, like, you and I were equally hungover watching that Saturday night game, right? Mm-hmm. Like after the wedding, both like sitting on separate couches, texting each other about the game.
Yeah.
It's like, when did that sucker tilt? Guess who was out there and guess who made a mystery?
Yeah, like, I know.
You can tell me all the pop stuff you want. Yeah, like, I guess he stayed on his skates more lately. Like, absolutely not. In terms of guys that got to go from this team playoff wise, it's weird because it's like, they've got so many that you could point to. Like every night I'm like, oh, they can't have Reeves. Oh, they can't have Holmberg. Oh, they can't have Robertson. Oh, they can't have Domi. Oh, they can't have Pacioretty. Like, go on down the line. The rest of the guys that are around those 6 stud forwards have just not been workable. Outside of, again, you're right, Kampf. Like, Kampf has a place on the team.
Lorenz, too. Lorenz is a good physical guy who, like, I mean, he's rangy. He can chip in with a goal. Maybe if the puck lands on his stick in a good spot, I have a bit of trust that he can maybe shoot it in. He can hit guys. He's physical. He can kill penalties. Like him and Kampf are the two punt guys that I really am accepting of in the bottom half of the line.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, so no Marner tonight. Domi was up. Mm-hmm. This is what people have been waiting for, right? Is let's see Domi with this group. I thought that he was pretty noticeable in the first period. He got a scoring opportunity. I think he might have even hit the post or the crossbar with a shot. And then he set up Nyes for like a beautiful seam pass that Nyes just couldn't handle because he was barreling in a little bit too fast. Mm-hmm. But I got to say, I didn't really notice Domi a ton tonight with that line. Like, didn't find him to be forceful in some kind of way.
No, he ended up with, I was just looking to see if he did end up with a shot on net. He didn't.
Yeah, but that's because I think it hit the post.
It must have hit the post. But I know the one you're talking about down the chute that he had, I think it was off of Matthews' pass.
Yeah,
here's what I'll say.
Right before that, I was pissed at him because he double clutched it. Like he was like, he should turn and shoot. He needed to do the Tavares. He had a ton of space and then kind of like worked it back to the half board. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, go towards the net. But it did result in the chance. Like, I don't know.
I just like Matthews and Marner so much better when they're not with each other. Yeah. And Marner and him defer to each other too much. You know, they have their one or two games where they're brilliant and then it goes down a little bit and they're just, I think that Matthews just has the puck way more when he's playing with these type of guys. And he's just making the decisions way more on the line, playing way more of the center role where he's carrying the puck and he's lugging the puck. He ends up with 3 assists tonight, right? 2 of them are power play assists, I understand. And the one is off of a rebound chance where he has a breakaway or whatever. But I just felt like he had the puck on his stick a lot more in decision-making spots where, you know, it just, when him and Marner play together, it feels like Marner has the puck a whole bunch. He tries like a, you know, some sort of brilliant pass and it comes off and Matthews was ripping it. Just turns him into more of a shooter than the actual center complete player that he is. Mm-hmm. And I just wish that even when Marner gets back, that they would keep them separated and you put Matthews with two types of guys like this. Maybe, you know, it's a McMahon for a bit. Maybe it's a Nyes and Domi, maybe whatever it is. But I just love him when he's hot, when he has the puck more. And it felt like he had the puck a ton more than he usually does tonight.
Yeah, dude, they got they were trying to get Matthews going by putting him with Marner, right? Mm-hmm. And like he first started to see his success with Marner back on his line. And like that's his binky, you know, that's his comfort blanket, mm-hmm. is having Mitch Marner on his line, setting him up. They like playing mm-hmm. with each other. They're obviously like there's a lot of positivity that it's not like it's a bad line, but I think that there's a lot of truth to what you're saying. Cause I had a similar thought tonight, which was he has this beautiful play that got the crowd to do one of those like, ooh, at the line, right? With yeah. the zone entry.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, I'd like to see what the numbers are on Matthew's zone entries playing with Mitch Marner. Like you forget that he's elite at that as well.
Yeah.
Right. Like you always see Nylander transport the puck over the blue, like
yeah.
over the into the opposing zone. You always see Marner do it. And then Marner does the same thing essentially every time, which is like pull up. But yeah. Matthews is just a little bit more direct with it, where it's like he'll make that zone entry and then he's going to the center of the ice because he's looking mm-hmm. to score. He's not looking to pull up and dish. So I'm with you. Like at this point, I would extend the Domi run. I think you need to get him going. I think you need to find out if he has a fit on your team. Because frankly, yeah. I think the one thing that you know definitively now is down the lineup, he doesn't work. And whatever, unless you get some like bombastic trade to get a center that fits with Domi, I just don't think that he's a Berube bottom six player. Like he's lost in the shuffle on this team. So try to make it work with Nyes, Matthews, and Domi.
Yeah.
And then I would have a second line where I put Tavares back with Marner and then let McMahon be the player that's with Nylander and then try to find them a more workable center, and but use Camp until you get one.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I just find it hard. Willie, I guess, has been doing it with everybody all year. So
that's his thing. I'm saying give him McMahon. With McMahon that you have the two guys that can fly and that have played well with each other and can both skate.
I really like Nylander, Tavares, and McMahon together. I feel like that line, I don't know if they've played a ton together, but it just feels like a good mix.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Yeah. It's just that if you do that, you're then back you're, to the bottom yeah. six of yeah. irrelevancy.
Yeah.
And you're not putting Mitch Marner with David Kampf and Max Pacioretty. So like Nylander has just proven like he is just more capable of driving those lines and him and I think that they don't get lost in the shuffle and they score.
Yeah.
So that's where I'd be with it until the deadline. And again, I'm getting less and less optimistic about whatever this move's going to be because it's turning pretty quick into Rentalsville. And
get ready to learn Luke Kunin from San Jose. Is there I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Yeah. So get ready to learn that guy.
Sorry. My bad. Yeah. I'm not watching.
That's kind of what we're looking at here, unless they really go crazy. But yeah, I really, are we still doing big picture stuff from the game?
No, I don't think that was necessarily meant to be big picture. I was just like, yeah, look, this is going to be an important stretch for Domi when he's there. And I think that like them producing the way that they did and winning this game, I don't know, it just gave him a little bit of a something to consider, I think, which is leaving him up there.
If he doesn't make this work, like I honestly feel like there's a legitimate chance that he misses playoff games, that like there could be a world where we're all like, wow, Max Domi isn't playing tonight kind of thing. Like it's a crazy thing to say considering he makes the most amongst forwards outside of the core four. It's a crazy thing to say, but it's just he plays 11 minutes when he's not in the top six and he just doesn't do what Berube wants the bottom six to do. Like, Kipper mentioned on her show the other day that there's not a ton of chemistry maybe between him and Berube. Like, you're starting to feel it a bit here. You're really starting to feel it.
Staples him to the bench, like, at the end of every game. Like
Nyes played 20. What did Nyes play tonight? 23 minutes? 22 minutes? Played 23 minutes. Matthews played 21. And the guy that starts that line played 49. Yep. Domi.
Yeah, like, still with this opportunity doesn't get realized time. Again, power play stuff matters. Penalty kill stuff matters. Both those guys get that, but there's obviously something to it. It's not like the coach can say he's playing great and he's playing more aggressive all he wants. The fact of the matter is he doesn't deploy him like a guy
protecting him a bit in the media. He's protecting him big time
for sure. I thought Riley was really good tonight, and I actually just liked the blue line in general. But I just thought Morgan Riley was doing something that we haven't seen enough of this season, which is moving his feet, jumping up in the rush. And kind of working as that like rover, where there was multiple chances that he had like this in the first period where it's like him jumping up in the rush, him creating with his feet, forcing the defense to move around, and then finding guys that are getting open. Like, it was just a bit more of a vintage Riley. He should have gotten the assist, I think, on the Tavares goal that was called back for the high stick.
Yeah.
But I thought he was buzzing all night.
Yeah, he was, I thought, right from the first couple shifts, really, really just vintage, moving his feet, making the right reads. And this is the stat line you look at for Riley, and it hasn't been like this very often this year. He ends up with an assist. He's a plus three tonight, bud. Three yep. shots on goal, three block shots, 22-54. Like, that's a really, really positive step in the right direction from a guy that they need to be good.
Totally
and
agree.
We have had our questions if it can ever come back and be the same, considering where he's at in his career, the age, the miles, all the stuff about him, you know, just the way he's looked a lot of this year. But that's a big night, a confidence building night. And I got to wonder, does it have any parallel to him getting the confidence boost of them putting him back on PP1?
I thought like, about the same thing.
His involvement?
I really liked them doing it. Like, same. I'm so glad that they didn't go to just be like, hey, we're sticking with five forwards no matter what. Like, yeah. Marner was out, and it's clear that if Marner's out, they want him running the top.
Yeah.
It's just, it's tough because the power play, as we've mentioned, has been good without him too. And the notable yeah. difference with Marner out there is like, they're all still moving around. They're doing these things. They've got the net front presence, but then Marner's also less reluctant to shoot it.
Yeah.
Like, that's still been the thing for Morgan Riley, is he's like a wrister only guy. And when they're out there on the power play, he's never looking to shoot with those other guys around him. You talked about how you think Matthews defers too much when there's Marner out yeah. there, that they defer too much to each other.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a more criminal defender in terms of deferring with this team than Riley on the power play. So mm-hmm. like, maybe I do think it's like there is maybe a little bit of something to him and Marner are kind of playing the same role for this team, and that it's kind of tough to have them both out there. That we've always done the like, hey, is it Tavares and is it this? It's like maybe it's just like those two guys as both yeah. distributors somehow don't really work with this power play despite it missing passing sometimes.
Love this comment from Devin Pike. Mo actually got some sleep on the road getting away from the newborn. He got away from his Amish family of eight that he's been churning butter for the last 2 months.
Yeah, that's how, again, that's how much Morgan Riley is liked, is that people yeah. are like, well,
he finally got a good night's sleep. You know, the multimillionaire definitely doesn't have like sleep nurses nanny. And like, yeah. like people figure this out for him. Yeah.
yeah, I know, it's good. Yeah. But yeah, I thought the same thing where it's like, do you switch it up? Do you like, I think that if you're Berube, you're straight up kind of like hoping that Marner takes the extra rest and doesn't play in the Seattle game so you can keep the Domi look for one more time. So yeah. you can keep the Morgan Riley power play together and just get a bit of a feel for what your team looks like without Mitch.
Yep. Totally agree. Totally agree. And this is a big one for the get rid of Mitch camp. This is a big one for the conference. Go out and play the crappy Flames and be like, yeah, confirmation bias, baby. Let's
Flames
go.
Turn the puck over a billion yeah. times.
They stunk yeah. tonight. Like, yeah. It's like, no wonder Edmonton goes to conference finals every year. They get to play against those guys. Like, yeah. holy crap.
I will God. Say, though, I do think the crowd affected the Flames. Like, I think that when the game started to get a little weird in the second yeah. period, that the Flames, like, the one penalty that Lomberg takes, right? Like, there was a huge hit by McCabe in this game, which
that's,
was
that's lovely. What I wanted to bring up. That's what I wanted yeah, to bring like, up.
Yeah, like, roll that. Lomberg
if
does.
We got that. Yeah, it was a great hit.
Yeah, like, and Lomberg dang. Does Lomberg things, right? Which is grab somebody, but it's like, I do wonder in this game, tight spot, if he's, I get it's Ryan Lomberg, so it's hard to say that he wouldn't do this. Like, this
Lamborghini is going after it.
That's, yeah, it's like, this is his MO, is the perfect guy to have on the ice and be in that situation. But I'm like, man, the crowd is hyped. It's like, it's your arena. Leaf fans are taking yeah. over like this. I just thought it did get to the Flames a little bit tonight. That's just my personal belief.
Here's what I'll say. That's a great hit.
Yeah.
And I got to give so much credit to Rooney there, because if we show the one angle, he looks up, he sees him,
yeah,
and he knows that he's got to get that puck out,
and he does.
makes an awesome play to yeah. take the hit, make the play, gets the puck out. It's a fantastic play by Rooney there
yeah,
to take that. He sees him coming. He knows McCabe. He knows he had the wires were crossed there. He was looking for his chunk
see
of
that
meat.
Psycho with that oh, nose yeah. bearing down on you, oh, just yeah. thirsty for blood.
And he hammered him. But then yeah. I was worried because you saw that hit, got me off my couch a little bit. And then you see the old Lamborghini there, Lomberg going in. You're like, oh, God, yeah. please, McCabe, don't fight him. Don't fight him. Don't fight him. Don't fight him. And he yeah. doesn't fight him. Just, you know, gets the power play. They don't end up scoring on that power play. But really, really great hit from yeah. McCabe. God, I love the guy.
you ready to just do kind of like more quick things?
Yeah.
The 5-on-3 where it's like Benoit takes that penalty. Oh, and then God. I thought it was like a crafty play. I can't remember who made it. It might've been Coleman
who
kind of tucked
Kadri.
No, who tucked?
Oh, the hook. It was Timmons on Coleman. Yeah, Coleman.
It was right. It was yeah. that. So it was like that, but you know, like yeah, it was, I shit. Thought
it
that
was a bit of a,
I thought that the one. Leafs three defensemen played really well and OEO was fine, but it was like, yeah, Timmons and Benoit, again, it's like we talk about the depth. It's so funny because they're nailing some of these guys, right? Where it's like, God, they're doing so well with this Wool contract right now that they've got them on, and with the, you know, McMahon contract they've got them on, and Nyes with providing so much overvalue of what he's doing. And it's like, you got the Benoits and the Timmonses and the other guys, like those fours. It's just, God, it's a drag. You'd love to see those two guys not there as well. Like
you'd like to be like, you know, picking between one of those guys in a pinch to play like 10 playoff minutes total. Yeah. That's where you'd love to be. And right now you're looking at a game where, like, I guess it'd be the top four, right? With Riley, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Tanev, and McCabe. They would probably play, you know, 25 minutes or 26 minutes, and then they'd try to put together 10 for those other guys. Like, it would not be a pretty situation if you were going in with this. They need to add another D-man. They really do.
Okay.
They really, really do.
It's been so bad recently with those two guys. First of all, Botstock and Benoit, the milk boy.
Yeah.
It's
crashing.
It's crashed.
Worse than the Canadian dollar, bud. I
tried to defend it even as the advanced, like the underlying numbers were starting to get ugly for him. I was like, no, you got to watch the game. And now I'm watching the games. I'm like,
making a lot of mistakes.
And then Timmons had this, like, basically what has like been a fake run where he looked awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They've been so bad that I've had two thoughts. One is where I'm like, I've been texting people like, so what's up with Hakanpaa? Like, is he going to be
Well, he unfortunately couldn't play in the Four Nations face-off, which was a stunning turn of events.
Exactly. So I was like, hey, he's like, is he going to be back anytime? And then the other one is I've been like, did they screw up the Liljegren trade?
Oh, I haven't thought of him literally since it happened, but has he been good?
Super sheltered minutes, but it's the classic Liljegren right now. Like, again, I haven't seen a second of him play.
Yeah,
like I'm not going to stand out here and pretend, but he's the dorks love the numbers again, and there's shelter talk, but he's putting up some pretty studly dork numbers.
No, the dorks have their day.
Oh yeah, the dorks might have their day with this one. Like, yeah, I'm just saying, it may have been a boo boo to have him be the odd man out, even though, like I said, I think at his time here was kind of done.
Yeah,
it's a bit of revisionist history, but it's like God, their depth guys are awful right now. Like
they did give up a 25-year-old right shot D man for nothing.
Yeah. So and they can play Connor Timmins because he got hot for 2 weeks.
He was hot though. God, it was a hot run. It was a hot run.
He was hot. I'm just saying that like you gotta blame us because we were pro this move the entire time.
100%.
But also I would blame Berube more because he never gave a shot. He isolated him. He took him out of the mix right away. Anyway, whatever. I haven't seen a second of him.
He's played 40 games this year. He has 9 points, 4 goals, 5 assists, 24 PIMs, and a -12.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, his nerd numbers are like solid.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, for whatever.
His expected goals against per 60, he's off the charts.
Yeah. He's charting. Anyway, I'm just thinking.
He's charting so hard right now.
He's charting hard. I just tell you that that's how bad these guys are right now that I'm getting like whimsical about a guy I genuinely hated watching
so much.
Yeah. Like, it's like when you date someone really bad and then you break up and then like 2 years later, you're lonely one night and you're like, God, I had it good with her. And you're like, no, it sucked. You're just remembering the one.
I was actually watching the Sharks. I forget when they were on the East Coast. I like watching Celebrini and the announcer for the Sharks was going full Liljegren.
Yeah.
I was like, well, were we saying it wrong the whole time or is he off? Like,
oh, man, I feel like Liljegren. It changed like 3 times. Like, it was like Liljegren. Yeah, it was a tough one. Anyway, what else do I got here? I had one other thing. I'm trying to find it. I did want to mention
mine's sort of a bigger picture goaltending thing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of my last point from the game tonight.
Yeah.
But with the looming return here of our king Anthony Stolarz.
Oh, yeah.
You got to give so much credit to Joseph Woll.
For sure you do.
Really, really do. Like,
you know, I got a stat for you.
Let me have it. What do you got?
So clearly since the Stolarz injury, mm-hmm. only one goalie has played more games than Joe Woll.
Really?
Hellebuck. Yeah, that's it.
Wow, that's
total
fantastic.
Starters workload.
What a great
stat. Yeah, dominant starters workload from that guy. So I think like he's answered a lot of questions about him, but I will say that I still want to see him not play this many games. Like, he was spectacular against Edmonton.
Yeah.
I think that he was solid again tonight. Like, nothing that I'm really blaming him for with the goals. Like, it's like, which one did you think was like bad?
Two five-on-three goals.
I was just going to say, twice on five-on-three. Like, you know, although their best goalie tonight was, once again, Chris Tanev. Like, just blocking shots. Warrior.
Stud.
He had what would have been, to me, one of the plays of the year. They killed that first five-on-three. He blocked a shot and then got to the puck and cleared it right before Calgary scored.
Yeah.
He actually blocked the shot. Yeah, this. Oh, God, what a stud. Just eats it. He's just a puck eater. Yeah. I've also...
Biscuit eater, baby.
Oh, dude, he doesn't care. Like, he will keep eating it. Num, num, num. He's the Ezekiel Elliott thing, like, from back in the day, where it's a cereal bowl, but with block shots. Yeah, I want to see. I can't wait for Stolarz to get back, and then these two guys be able to both find their rhythm and then compete for who gets the first playoff game. Like,
I have to say, totally doubted Woll would be able to do this.
And, yeah, I think that's fair.
And you know, like, we're not out of the woods yet, clearly. But I think Stolarz is going to be starting on Thursday, and then you go back to Woll for Saturday night against Vancouver, and then they both get a 2-week break, and then you, like you said, you go into the stretch run, which is just an absolute sprint coming out of the Four Nations faceoff break.
Yeah.
And you have two really good goalies where you're trying to solidify maybe a first place in the division. You know, you're fighting with all these teams at the bottom to even be in the playoff picture. Like, it's a real dogfight down the stretch here. So I'm really, really impressed with how good Woll's been. They needed him to be in there, and he played a ton, like you said, second most to Hellebuck. Impressive stretch for Woll. And I didn't know if he had it in him, and I'm really happy about it.
Yeah, really good. I think that, again, there's like, this is like the Leafs get nitpicked like no other team. We're a part of it.
Yeah.
I think that there's been some valid criticisms of this team. I think that there are some really like underlying difficult issues for them. But if you're looking at this thing from the most optimistic standpoint, like, Toronto going to the playoffs with Stolarz and Woll both healthy, it's like, God, it's just hard for me to believe that not one of those two guys is going to get hot and Toronto's going to have the edge in net in just about any series they play, which is something that like you just really have not been able to say about this team in the past.
Ever.
And like, you do have the Woll injury insurance, you have the Stolarz injury insurance. It's just like, God, it really feels perfectly set up between these two. Yeah, I remember what my last thing was. My last thing was, like, you know me, I defend the goalies like no other.
Wolf?
No, the first the goalie interference call that wiped off the first Calgary goal is embarrassing.
My God, it's a farce.
Like,
it's
you're so
preaching to the
bad.
Choir here, buddy. You know me.
Like,
you're preaching.
I defend to the I said to
Ref
you,
Doc.
I said to you that they should put Tavares in jail for hit Wolf in the mask in our private text.
Yeah.
Like, I defend the goalies, but it's like, buddy, look where he is.
This one's crazy.
It's like
crazy.
He's at the very top of the crease. He's on the. He's like, he's out of it, and a guy taps him with his stick, like, slightly, doesn't affect the play, and they call that one off.
I'm crazy, like, one.
Come on, like, there's got to be a line, and that's the line for me. Where I just, if you lose me on these,
yeah,
you've lost the war. Like, I'm the last line of defense. A goalie interference, and this one, I literally went. Alone, give me a break. And I'm rooting for the Leafs to win this game. So, like, that's how bad that one was. If I was a Flames fan, that would have, like, really pissed me off. If we were doing this, if that was reversed on the Leafs, we would have led with refs talk tonight. Like,
absolutely.
Like, that's bad. That was a real baddie, bad, bad, bad. And, like, oof.
And I will say, man, credit to the Leafs video team, right? Jordan Dean. He's got an unreal sense. Like, it's like he's reading these, like, he's Inception. He's reading these guys' minds. Like, how did you, and it was immediate to challenge that one. And it's like, it didn't take that long. Like, Bean, his nickname's Beaner. Like, Keith used to call him Beaner all the time. It's like, Beaner's got a good read. He knows. He really does.
Listen, I see in the chat, Christian put in, this guy said that he moved the blocker, else this is a simple save. Like,
disagree.
I genuinely cannot believe that that is what you're
about
watching.
To tap the puck in.
Yeah, like, simple save. Like, what are you talking about? Again, that is the pure definition of blue and white goggles right there. Is like, buddy, if he doesn't get tapped in the blocker lightly, Wolves sprawling out.
Come on, TML Domain.
It's going out the other way. Leafs score, and then they probably win this game. I don't know, 8-0. That's TML Domain.
So here's what I'll say too. I couldn't believe the Flames didn't challenge the other one to make it 5-2.
Yeah, that was a weird one. But then they scored right away, and I was like,
yeah. Domi was pulling him, like, pulling the goalie into the crease, like me trying to drag Lou Dog around the block in the snow. Like, it was not, he dragged him right out of the net. Yeah. I couldn't believe he didn't, like, they talked about it on the broadcast, but you're about to go down 5-2. Like, look at him, pulls him right out.
Like, spins him into the
middle. I guess the argument would be that he had no chance either way, even if he doesn't pull him out.
I thought it was an automatic challenge. The second I saw
auto challenge.
Yeah, auto challenge. Like, anyway. Especially the way things were going in this game where it was like, anything is not a goal. Yeah. You know, like,
hot ref talk tonight. Been a while, buddy.
Well, it's just more review talk. The league just, again, like, they got to end this stuff, man. It's just brutal. Like, did you watch the Amazon game last night?
I did not.
I watched Sen play, and it was Sen Nashville. Hot Monday night for me, sitting on the couch.
You watching. And two other people watching that one.
Yeah, Sen's Nashville. They had one where it was like the Sen score power play goal. And there's no goaltender interference on that one either. And they call it goalie interference. They take 6 minutes up in the booth reviewing.
Oh, was that the one that, like, trickled over the line? Like, where they didn't know if it was in or not. It was like intent to blow situation.
And Travis Green challenges it after. And it was like, no joke, like 10 minutes
too long
of no play. And I went, we're lost here. We're lost as a league. There's got to be a time limit. If you can't figure it out in 2 minutes, it's done. Like, the call stands.
Put the shot clock up.
Yeah, that's what I mean. 2 minutes is all you get. 2 minutes, and then the call stands, the one that you made on the ice. Or just get rid of review altogether. I don't care. I'm over it. Like, no review is good. That's where I stand. The only good review is first base.
Or, because you can't have a perfect game. You can't have poor old Jim Joyce.
Yeah, no.
Robin Galarraga. You can't have that anymore.
You can't have that, but it's like, it's black and white. It's easy, you know? It's just like, was it put on the bag? Yes. Okay, done. Keep it moving. Takes 2 seconds. That's the only good one. Every other one is terrible in all of pro sports. I challenge anyone to tell me otherwise. Anyways, subscribe to this podcast. Leave 5 stars. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkus, at Sammy McKee. Send us more takes like that was clear goaltender interference because we love it. We do love the Leaf fans. All right. We'll see you.
So Thursday night, if you're watching this, it's going to be a little bit different. No YouTube. I'm going on with Ailish and Justin right after the game. So, like, I'll be going on doing a radio hit with them. So we'll talk Leafs, and then we'll upload it in the Leafs Talk feed. And then you and I will be back on Saturday night, right, against the Canucks, the last game before the break, the big game in Vancouver, the 4 p.m. puck drop local
time. Oh, weekend in Vancouver. Oh, yeah. You say, hey, it's Super Bowl weekend, and they're like, Leafs are in town? It's like, there we know that the Chiefs and the Eagles are playing. It's like, this is big. This is their identity for this weekend. The Leafs versus all the Pettersons. We'll see you Saturday. Did they screw up the Liljegren trade?
Oh.
The dorks love the numbers again. And there's shelter talk, but he's putting up some pretty studly dork numbers.
No, the dorks have their day.
Oh, yeah. The dorks might have their day with this one.